Chapter 66. Heating and Air Conditioning System Diagnosis. HVAC Diagnostic Procedure. When diagnosing a heating and air conditioning system problem, most vehicle manufacturers recommend that the following steps be performed. Step 1. Verify the customer complaint, or concern. Sometimes the customer does not understand how the system is supposed to work or does not explain the fault clearly. Verifying the fault also means that the technician can verify that the problem has been corrected after the service procedure has been performed. Step 2. Do a thorough visual inspection. Heating and air conditioning problems are often found by looking carefully at all of the components, checking for obvious faults or damage due to an accident or road debris. Step 3. Check for diagnostic trouble codes. Many heating and air conditioning systems use sensors and actuators, which are computer-controlled and set diagnostic trouble codes in the event of component failure. Step 4. Check for related technical service bulletins, abbreviated TSBs. If there has been a bulletin released to solve a known problem, it saves a lot of time to know what to do rather than spend a lot of time trying to find and correct a problem. Step 5. Determine the root cause. Be sure to find and correct the root cause of the problem. A low refrigerant level means that there was a leak in the system. Finding and correcting the leak that caused the low refrigerant level is correcting the root cause. Step 6. Verify the repair. Drive the vehicle under similar conditions that caused the customer to complain, and verify that the concern has been corrected. Heater diagnosis. Most of the heat absorbed from the engine by the cooling system is wasted. Some of this heat, however, is recovered by the vehicle heater. Heated coolant is passed through tubes in the small core of the heater. Air is passed across the heater fins and is then sent to the passenger compartment. In some vehicles, the heater and air conditioning work in series to maintain vehicle compartment temperature. See Figure 66-1. Thermostat diagnosis. When the vehicle's heater does not produce the desired amount of heat, many owners and technicians replace the thermostat before doing any other troubleshooting. While it is true that a defective thermostat can be the reason for the engine not to reach normal operating temperatures, there are many other causes that can result in lack of heat from the heater. To determine the exact cause, follow this procedure. Step 1. After the engine has been operating for 15 minutes, feel the upper radiator hose. If the engine is up to proper operating temperature, the upper radiator hose should be too hot for you to keep your hand on it. The hose should also be pressurized. A. If the hose is not hot enough, replace the thermostat. B. If the hose is not pressurized, pressure test the cooling system with a pressure tester to locate leaks. Replace the radiator pressure cap if it does not hold the specified pressure. And C. If okay, see Step 2. Step 2. With the engine running, feel both heater hoses. The heater should be set to the maximum heat position. Both hoses should be too hot to hold. If both hoses are warm, not hot, or cool, check the heater control valve, if equipped, for proper operation. If one hose is hot and the other, or, return, is just warm or cool, remove both hoses from the heater core or engine and flush the heater core with water from a garden hose. Refer to Figure 66-1. The heater core is mounted inside a heater plenum chamber where air passes over it to absorb heat from the warmed engine coolant. Tech tip. Water on the carpet. Check the evaporator water drain. If the evaporator water drip tube becomes clogged with mud, leaves, or debris, water will build up inside the evaporator housing and spill out onto the carpet on the passenger side. Customers often think that the windshield or door seals are leaking. Most evaporator water drains are not visible unless the vehicle is hoisted. Heater trouble diagnosis. A lack of heat from the heater or having heat coming out of the wrong vents can be a dangerous and uncomfortable problem. The first step in the diagnostic process is to perform a thorough visual inspection and perform simple tests. This includes the following. Number 1. Check the coolant level. Low coolant level can cause a lack of heat from the heater. Low coolant level can also cause occasional loss of heat. Caution: do not remove the radiator cap when the engine is hot. Allow the vehicle to sit several hours before removing the pressure cap to check the radiator coolant level. Number 2. Carefully touch the upper radiator hose with the engine running. On most vehicles, the temperature of the hose should be so hot that you cannot keep your hand on it, between 190 degrees Fahrenheit to 220 degrees Fahrenheit, or 88 degrees Celsius to 104 degrees Celsius. Note: an infrared thermometer, or pyrometer, can be used to measure the temperature of the upper radiator hose and the area around the thermostat housing. Number 3. Results: If the upper radiator hose is not too hot to hold, then the engine thermostat is defective. If the radiator hose is too hot to handle, then the lack of heat from the heater is not due to a lack of hot water in the engine. See Figure 66-2. Number 4. Results. Result: A. If neither heater hose is hot to the touch, it is likely there is an air pocket in the heater that is preventing the flow of coolant into the heater core. Result: B. If only one heater hose is hot to the touch, then the heater core is likely to be clogged or partially clogged. A clogged heater core prevents enough hot coolant from circulating through the heater core to provide adequate heat to the passenger compartment. Refer to Figure 66-2. A cable-controlled heater control valve. This valve is normally open, allowing engine coolant to flow through the heater core. When the air conditioning is switched to maximum cooling, the valve shuts off the flow of coolant to the heater. Tech tip: defrost all the time? Check the vacuum. A common problem involves airflow from the defroster ducts, even though the selector lever is in other positions. The defrost setting is the default position in the event of a failure with the vacuum supply. The defrost position is used because it is the safest position. For safety, the windshield must remain free from frost. Heat is also supplied to the passenger compartments, not only through defrost ducts, but also through the heater vents at floor level. If the airflow is mostly directed to the windshield, check under the hood for a broken, disconnected, or missing vacuum hose. Check the vacuum reserve container for cracks or rust, if metal, that could prevent the container from holding vacuum. Check all vacuum hose connections at the intake manifold and trace each carefully, inspecting for cracks, splits, or softened areas that may indicate a problem. Hint: this problem of incorrect airflow inside the vehicle often occurs after another service procedure has been performed, such as spark plug replacement. The movement of the technician's body and arms can cause a hose to be pulled loose or a vacuum fitting to break without the service technician being aware that anything wrong has occurred. Frequently asked question: how can you easily burp air from the cooling system? The first step in being certain there is no air in the cooling system is to try to avoid getting air into the system in the first place during cooling system service. If the engine is equipped with bleeder valves near the high spots of the cooling system, these valves should be open when refilling the radiator. See Figure 66-3. Any trapped air always travels to the highest portion of the cooling system and escapes out of these bleeder openings. Close the valves as soon as coolant is observed coming out of the valve opening. If the cooling system is not equipped with bleeder valves, fill the cooling system as full as possible and then start the engine. With the radiator cap removed, the coolant level often rises as the trapped air is expanding, then drop down as the trapped air escapes out of the radiator neck opening. Air can still remain trapped. To help speed up the process, try installing the radiator cap just to the first notch. In this position, the radiator cap is closed, but does not seal enough to allow pressure to build in the cooling system. To help force any trapped air from the cooling system, simply drive the vehicle normally for several miles. By driving the vehicle under load, the engine warms up faster and the thermostat opens, allowing the coolant to flow from the engine and through the radiator. Any trapped air is then released into the radiator where it can easily escape through the unsealed radiator cap. After filling the radiator, securely tighten the radiator cap and test drive the vehicle to verify proper operation. Always check service information for the exact procedure to follow when replacing coolant. Refer to Figure 66-3. Many engines are equipped with a bleeder valve to permit a technician to bleed any trapped air from the cooling system. The valve is loosened as coolant is poured into the system. Because air is lighter than coolant, the air tends to float toward the highest part of the cooling system. Tech tip: the hand test. To check a radiator or condenser for possible clogged or restricted areas, simply touch the outside of the unit with your hand. Any cool spots indicate that the radiator or condenser is clogged in that cool area. Note: an air bubble could be lodged in the heater core. This is a common occurrence, especially if the coolant, or antifreeze, has been recently replaced. Failure to properly burp the air from the cooling system can cause a pocket of air to remain trapped in the heater core, preventing coolant from flowing through. See Frequently Asked Question: how can you easily burp air from the cooling system? Tech tip: hot-cold heater diagnosis. A common customer complaint is a lack of heat from the heater, but only while driving, even though there seems to be plenty of heat when the engine is at idle speed and the vehicle is stopped. This is a classic symptom of low coolant level. The lower than normal coolant level in the radiator prevents enough flow to supply the heater core. When the engine speed is reduced, The water pump turns slower and coolant can more easily flow through the heater core, resulting in heat from the heater. As the engine speed increases, the water pump speed also increases. Because there is less than the proper amount of coolant in the system, the water pump is only able to supply coolant through the engine, a path of lower resistance. Refer to Figure 66-4. Many older CFC-12 systems are equipped with a sight glass either on or near the receiver dryer. A fully charged, or completely empty, system is indicated by a clear sight glass. Bubbles or foam indicate that the system is not fully charged. An empty system may have oil streaks on the sight glass being moved by the vapor remaining in the system. Checking AC system performance. The first step in the diagnosis of any cooling system problem is to verify the complaint, or concern. Step 1. Start the engine and turn the AC system to maximum with the engine operating between 1500 and 2000 RPM with the doors open. Operate the system for 5 to 10 minutes. Step 2. Verify by visual inspection that the AC compressor clutch is engaged. Check the sight glass if the vehicle is so equipped, as shown in See Figure 66-4. Hint: if the AC compressor clutch cannot be observed, have an assistant turn the air conditioning on and then off and listen for the click of the AC compressor clutch. Step 3. Place an air conditioning thermometer in the AC vent near the center of the vehicle. Wait several minutes to allow the system to reach maximum output and observe the thermometer. If 35 degrees Fahrenheit to 45 degrees Fahrenheit, or 2 degrees Celsius to 7 degrees Celsius, the system is functioning okay. Continue a thorough visual inspection looking for any faults that may cause an intermittent problem. If over 45 degrees Fahrenheit, or 7 degrees Celsius, continue with pressure gauge testing. Step 4. Step 4. Identify the refrigerant. Before connecting the pressure gauges or performing any other service to an automotive air conditioning system, verify the refrigerant that is presently in the system. Connect a refrigerant identification machine to the system. See Figure 66-5. Step 5. Connect both high pressure and low pressure gauges to the service ports. Start the engine and turn the air conditioning system on and set to maximum cooling. The low side pressure should be about 25 to 35 psi. The high side pressure should be about 150 to 200 psi. Compare your readings to the normal and abnormal readings in the following chart. See Figures 66-6 and 66-7. Refer to Figure 66-5. A typical refrigerant identification machine. The readout indicates what kind of refrigerant is in the system. If a blend or some other contaminated refrigerant is discovered, it should be recovered and stored in a separate container to keep it from contaminating fresh refrigerant. Refer to Figure 66-6. Figure A, both high pressure, or red, and low pressure, which are the blue hoses, have been attached to the vehicle. Figure B, here a service technician is using an infrared pyrometer to measure the temperature. Refer to Figure 66-7. Hot refrigerant condenses in the condenser when it loses its heat to the outside air. Note how the level of the liquid line changes when undercharged or overcharged. Refer to AC pressure gauge chart on page 793. Temperature and pressure measurements. Temperature and pressure are directly related in AC systems. As the ambient temperature increases, the high side pressure must also increase to have heat transfer at the condenser. The temperature of the vapor must be higher than the ambient temperature to allow enough heat to be removed for condensation. Also, higher ambient temperatures and high humidity usually mean a higher heat load on the evaporator. This means a larger quantity of heat has to be removed at the condenser. The high side pressure is directly related to the amount of heat that needs to be removed and the heat transfer at the condenser. Low side pressure indicates the boiling point of the temperature of the evaporator. If the pressure is too high, the boiling point of the refrigerant and temperature of the evaporator are too high. Low side pressure that is too low indicates the evaporator is too cold and may ice, or that there is not enough boiling refrigerant in the evaporator to remove an adequate amount of heat. See Figure 66-8. The heat transfer at the condenser is usually the cause of high side pressure that is too high. The number one cause of poor heat transfer is lack of airflow across the condenser. The vehicle is dependent upon fans to move enough air when you are testing in a stall. It may be necessary to drive the vehicle at 30 miles per hour to get the ram air necessary to determine if lack of airflow is the reason for the poor heat transfer. Another cause of excessive high side pressure is contamination with a different refrigerant. Mixing R12 and R134A raises the condensing pressure of the mixture. If the system is contaminated with R22, the pressures can become extremely high. At 150 degrees Fahrenheit, 66 degrees Celsius, the pressure of R12 is 235 psi, or 1620 kilopascals, R134A is 263 psi, or 1813 kilopascals, and R22 is 381 psi, or 2627 kilopascals. This is an important reason to use a refrigerant identifier. As compressor efficiency is reduced, the high side decreases, and the low side increases. The function of the compressor is to pull down the low side and push up the high side. When the compressor is failing, it does not do either job well. Always look at both the high and low side pressures when diagnosing a problem. See figures 66-9 through 66-11. Frequently asked question. What's wrong when the AC compressor clutch cycles on and off rapidly? This is a common occurrence on a vehicle equipped with a cycling clutch orifice tube, abbreviated CCOT, system that is low on refrigerant charge. With a normal charge, the low side pressure should be 15 to 35 psi and the clutch should be on for 45 to 90 seconds and be off for only about 15 to 30 seconds. Tech tip. High side pressure tip. A quick and easy way to determine the correct high side pressure is to add 100 to the ambient air temperature in Fahrenheit. See example on page 793. Refer to Figure 66-8. The average R134A pressure temperature readings during a performance test. The high side pressure of R12 systems is lower at higher temperatures. With the engine off and the system allowed to equalize, both low side and high side pressures should be equal. Refer to Figure 66-9. When both low and high side pressures are low, the system is undercharged with refrigerant. Refer to Figure 66-10. Both low and high side pressures higher than normal indicate that the system is overcharged with refrigerant. Refer to Figure 66-11. Lack of proper airflow across the condenser is usually the cause of this condition. Refer to Figure 66-12. A clogged orifice tube. Refer to Figure 66-13. Assortment of orifice tubes. Note that each is color-coded and identified on the lid of the assortment. Even. Though some technicians have purposely installed an orifice tube with a larger opening in an attempt to increase cooling, it is always safe to use the exact orifice tube specified for the vehicle being serviced. Tech tip. Clogged orifice tube test. A clogged orifice tube is a common air conditioning system failure. When the orifice tube becomes clogged, it blocks the flow of refrigerant through the evaporator, which causes a reduced cooling of the passenger compartment. To check for a possible restriction in the system, follow these easy steps. Step 1. Connect the AC pressure gauge to both low and high side pressure fittings. Step 2. Operate the AC system for 5 to 10 minutes. Step 3. Shut off the AC system and watch the pressure gauges. If the pressures do not equalize quickly, then there is a restriction in the system. See Figures 66-12 and 66-13. Note, to locate a restriction anywhere in the system, feel along the system lines. The restriction exists at the point of greatest temperature difference. Frosting is a good indication of a restriction. Refer to Figure 66-14. A partially clogged evaporator. Case study. The clogged evaporator problem. The owner of an older Buick complained that the blower motor must be defective because the air no longer flowed from the air conditioning vents as it should. A check of the blower motor circuit revealed that the blower motor was working. To confirm the operation of the blower, the resistor pack was removed and air flowed out of the opening. Then the technician discovered the cause of the lack of airflow. The evaporator was covered with oily dirt. The technician recovered the refrigerant and removed the evaporator. Apparently, the evaporator had a small refrigerant leak that allowed the refrigerant oil to coat the fins of the evaporator. Any dirt in the air stuck to the evaporator until the dirt almost completely blocked the airflow. Replacing the evaporator and recharging the system fixed the blower motor problem. See Figure 66-14. The summary. The complaint: vehicle owner complained of a lack of airflow from the AC vents. The cause: the evaporator was covered with oily dirt. The correction: the evaporator was replaced and system was recharged. Tech tip. The smell test. Many air conditioning systems form mildew inside the evaporator housing due to the moist condition that exists in this area. If a wet smell is noticed, The mold and mildew may be the cause and a biocide needs to be used to correct the problem. Refer to Figure 66-15. If the system is fully charged, the outlet temperature of the line leaving the evaporator should be about the same as the temperature of the line entering the evaporator after the expansion valve. Tech tip. The touch, feel test. A quick and easy test to check the state of charge of an orifice tube system is to use one hand and touch the evaporator side of the orifice tube. Touch your other hand to the inlet to the accumulator. The following conditions can be determined by noticing the temperature of these two locations. See Figure 66-15. Normal operation. Both temperatures about the same. Undercharged condition. Accumulator temperature higher, or warmer, than the orifice tube temperature. Just remember, high pressure means that the temperature of the component or line is also high, or hot. Low pressure means that the temperature of the component or line is also low, or cold. For example, the inlet to the compressor, or low pressure, should always be cool, whereas the outlet of the compressor, or high pressure, should always be hot. Tech tip. Leak testing the evaporator. A quick and easy test to check whether the evaporator is leaking refrigerant is to remove the blower motor resistor pack. The blower motor resistor pack is almost always located directly downstream and near the blower motor. Removing the blower motor resistor pack gives access to the area near the evaporator. Inserting the probe of a leak detector into this open area allows the detector to test the air close to the evaporator. If the vehicle does not use a blower motor resistor or if it is difficult to access, hoist the vehicle and insert the sniffer probe in the condensate tube. Refer to Figure 66-16. Typical electronic refrigerant leak detector. Many are capable of detecting either CFC-12 or HFC-134A. Leak detection. If the AC system is low on a charge of refrigerant, the sources of the leak should be found and corrected. Several different methods of leak detection are available, including. Number 1. Visual inspection. Look for oily areas that are formed when refrigerant leaks and some refrigerant oil is lost. It is this oil that indicates a refrigerant leak. Number 2. Electronic leak detector. Many of these units can detect both CFC-12 and HFC-134A. The detector sounds a tone if a leak is detected. See Figure 66-16. Number 3. Dye in the refrigerant. A dye is added to some refrigerant to help the technician visually spot a leak in the refrigerant system. This method works well except for leaks in the evaporator, which are usually not visible. See Figure 66-17. Number 4. Soap solution. Mix a few drops of liquid soap or detergent into a small glass of water. Using a small brush or a small spray bottle, apply the soapy solution to all fittings and other areas, such as the condenser and compressor, which often are sources of leaks. If the system is empty, pressurize the system with dry nitrogen. Refer to Figure 66-17. A black light being used to look for refrigerant leaks after a fluorescent dye was installed in the system. Review questions. Question 1. Discuss how to diagnose the lack of heat from the heater. Question 2. How can a low coolant level affect the heater operation? Question 3. What are the various methods that can be used to detect refrigerant leaks? Question 4. How can a clogged evaporator affect airflow to the dash vents? Question 5. What should the temperature difference be between the inlet and outlet of the evaporator? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. A customer complains that the heater works sometimes, but sometimes only cold air comes out while driving. Technician A says that the water pump is defective. Technician B says that the cooling system could be low on coolant. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 2. What should the pressures of the low side and high side AC system read on a gauge set with the engine off? A. The low side should be about 20% lower than the high side pressure. B. The same. C. The high side should be about 200 psi with the engine off. D. The low side should be at or near 0 psi with the engine off. Question 3. The first step in the diagnostic procedure when attempting to solve an HVAC customer problem is A. Visual inspection. B. Check for diagnostic trouble codes. C. Check for technical service bulletins. D. Verify customer concern. Question 4. The last step in the diagnostic procedure is A. Determine the root cause. B. Verify the repair. C. Recharge the system. D. Perform a visual inspection. Question 5. Technician says that one heater hose should be hot and the other hose cool if the heater is functioning okay. Technician B says that both hoses should be hot to the touch. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. 6. Normal air conditioning system operation should result in what dash vent temperature during an AC performance test? A. Below 32 degrees Fahrenheit, or 0 degrees Celsius. B. Between 68 and 72 degrees Fahrenheit, or 20 and 22 degrees Celsius. Circa 35 to 45 degrees Fahrenheit, or 2 to 7 degrees Celsius. D. Same or lower than ambient. Question 7. Technician says that evaporator leaks can be detected by installing dye into the system and looking for yellowish-green dye stains. Technician B says that a leak at the evaporator can be detected by removing the blower motor resistor pack and inserting an electronic leak detector probe into the airstream. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 8. Technician says that with a properly operating air conditioning system, the inlet to the compressor should be cold and the outlet from the compressor hot. Technician B says that the condenser should be hot and the evaporator cold. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. A clogged what can cause a lack of AC cooling? A. Orifice tube. B. Heater hose. C. Upper radiator hose. D. Condensate drain. Question 10. What must the technician do before checking an air conditioning system for refrigerant leaks using a black light? A. Evacuate the system. B. Install dye in the system. C. Overcharge the system by 10 ounces. D. Turn the system off and allow the pressure to equalize. End of chapter 66.